your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And when I started preaching, I knew how to talk, but I didn't know how to preach. You know, that's typically how it goes, you know. You learn how to talk before you learn how to preach. You don't usually come out of the womb preaching. So, usually. But when I went to Brazil, I knew how to preach, but I didn't know how to talk. So it was kind of inverted, you know. And the Lord gave me the analogy and the language of, you know, you're in a rowboat and you're gonna go across this great big lake, you know, one of the great lakes, or you're gonna go across the ocean of language learning. Now, when I started learning the language, I was 40 years old. When I was 18, I went with Pastor Matthews to he was in a different city learning the language. I was 18, and it was pretty easy to learn the language. I was there for almost 5 months, 4.5 months. And I was there for 1 month of language school, but I took 3-hour and 15-minute classes a day. I got a lot of Portuguese in a short amount of time. My mind soaked it up. I had graduated from high school 6 months before, so I was still in learning mode, you know. And day two of language, the founder of the school said, "Hey," he said, "he doesn't have any problems with pronunciation." I'm like, "Yeah." Now after 6 years, I'm still trying to pronounce stuff right. So you know, things happen. It's called age. But what happened is my wife and we did all the studying. Pastor Matthews actually taught us, so it saved a lot in language school, which we didn't have money for, so it worked out. But we did all the studying, and my kids do all this fluent speaking. You know, they don't study, but they hear it one time, and boom, they know how to talk. So a little jealous of my kids, you know, being able to retain that so easy. But we just have to work a little harder and have to keep looking up that same word that I know, but I forgot what it means, so I have to look it up in the dictionary, so that's fine. But let's go to Exodus chapter 14. And I'm in Ezekiel. We are in the wrong E book here. So Exodus chapter 14. Let's start with verse 8. So then the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea by Hiroth before Baal Zephon. And then we'll skip down. They gripe and complain from 10, 11, and 12. We'll get to 13. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" Kind of an interesting question. Like, who else are we supposed to cry to? But wherefore criest thou unto me? "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this passage here and for the truth of your word. Thank you for a book that we can trust, for a book that is without error. And Lord, I pray that you would minister to hearts. Lord, there might be some people here, right? Everyone here has needs, some physical, some spiritual, some emotional. Lord, I pray that we would be able that your word would take care of the needs and would minister to hearts, Lord, tonight. In your name I pray, amen. When I first read this passage, one of the times I read this passage, I saw that Moses tells the people, "Fear not, stand still." And then in verse 15, Lord says unto Moses, "Go forward." Like, oh, Moses gave him the wrong advice. Look at that. Gave him the wrong advice. But, you know, his heart was in the right bucket, and God corrected him, and eventually they got the people going forward. But, you know, they didn't know what to do. And you know what? When you're in a situation that you don't know what to do, when you're in a situation that you don't want to be in, when you're in a situation that you don't like, when you're confused, "I thought we were supposed to leave Egypt. We got this big Red Sea in front of us. We got the most powerful army behind us wanting to either kill us or drag us back to Egypt as slaves. I don't like this situation I'm in. You wouldn't either if you were the children of Israel at that time. Fear not, right. Yeah, fear not, really. You know, you're trapped inside of a burning car. Hey, don't fear. Yeah, right. I'm going to be a little nervous here. I don't want to be in the situation. You're in a bank and a guy comes in with a gun and he shoots the guard and you know someone says, hey, don't worry, fear not. Yeah, shut up, pal. I don't want to hear that. My heart's beating a little faster right now. I was in a situation last year where I had to have hernia surgery, double hernia surgery, in a third world country, in a socialist country. I did not want to have surgery. I did not want to go under. I said, you know what? I'll wait till furlough. Probably wouldn't have been a good idea because it would have been a whole another year before I would have been able to have the surgery. And it had already been several months that I had it, maybe even a year. So, I was in a situation I didn't want to be in. But to panic and do something stupid is not a good idea. So stand still. And if you're, what do you do when you're in a situation that you don't want to be in, you don't know what to do, you're in a difficult situation? Well, stand still when you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, so I'll just do something stupid. Yeah, they probably, you know. You don't know what to do, stand still. Stand still. That was good advice that Moses gave, because Moses didn't know what to do. He didn't have the orders yet. So he said, hey, stand still. Stand still. You don't know what to do, stand still. You know, kids, your ball goes into the road, don't chase after it. Stand still. We had a dog that got loose and ran out in the road and got whacked. And I wasn't going to tell, Silas was real young at the time, 2, 3, 4, and I wasn't going to tell him. And I had a friend of mine, older man, he said, you're not going to tell your son, he's going to find out eventually what happened. So, you know, You teach your kids not to lie, and you're gonna hide the truth from them. I'm like, yeah. So I told him, I said, hey, the dog got loose and got hit by a car. He was excellent with the road. Never had to worry about Silas going out on the road ever. So the Lord worked that out. But stand still when you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, boy. A situation in church, boy, I'm broadsided. I remember one time I was teaching the kids club on Wednesday nights. And my teacher, I was the leader, and I had a teacher, and then there was a helper. I think she was a teacher. She was the teacher or the helper. She didn't like how I did things, so she wrote me this nice letter, 2 or 3 page letter about how I'm doing it all wrong. And I was like, whoa! I'm like, you know, being the pastor's son, I went, Dad, what do I do with this? And I don't remember what happened. It calmed down. I never got another one. And when you don't know what to do, you go to her and ream her out, you know, or tell her husband, why did I get it from here instead of you, you sissy man of the house? Yeah, yeah, and, you know, ream them out. No, I wasn't sure what to do. If you don't know what to do, stand still. Stand still, because you'll probably do something stupid. Stand still when you're in a bad situation. You know, you, all by yourself, in your flesh, will only make the situation worse, more than likely. I've been there. I was in a situation where I was at camp, and there was another counselor in the bunk with us, and we're supposed to have devotions after camp. But we already had a long church service at night, had snack time, and then it's time for bed. This guy decided that it was chapel service number 2, and we went like an hour, hour and a half for devotions that night. We were supposed to go 10, 15 minutes. So I went to my pastor the next day and said, hey, this is going on. I'm not sure what to do about it. He goes, all right, I'll take care of it. You know what I did? After I went to my pastor, I decided maybe I should have went to the man myself and handled it instead. So I went to the guy, and when my pastor said he'd take care of it, my pastor comes up to me, hey, what are you doing? You know, I didn't stand still. I should have left it alone at that point. I made it worse. Stand still when you're in a bad situation. Stand still when you don't know what to do. Don't get ahead of God. But if you don't stand still, you will probably get ahead of God. You don't know how many times with those 13 years I was waiting in Green Bay, how much I wanted to get ahead of God. You know, I tried helping God out. You know, I mean, he seemed like he was having trouble getting me to Brazil. So I wanted to help him out. So I was working at FedEx, and I heard that they transfer managers. And I heard that they had a terminal in Sao Paulo. Now, Sao Paulo is about 4 to 5 hours from Bauru. But at least it's in the same state, you know, and, you know, God can work out those details, you know, I'm not, you know. So I took this test to try to be a manager. And, you know, basically, all the people that took this test, whoever got the highest score got to be manager. Guess who didn't get the highest score? Ta-da! So that didn't work out. So then it's like, well, what church member has a bunch of money that isn't tithing? What millionaires out there? We actually had one. We had a millionaire that didn't give a dime. Well, maybe God will work on his heart. And that didn't go. And, well, maybe when that person dies, maybe they'll leave their inheritance to the church and the church will have money to send me to Brazil. Well, that's real good. Well, hoping one of the church members kicks off so you can get to Brazil. That's a great attitude. You know, can't do that. One thing that the Lord worked on me, one of the things I learned, might have been one of the reasons why it took so long too, is that when I went back to Green Bay, I left when I was 11. I didn't, you know, when you're 11, you don't really realize how people are. And different regions of the country carry different attitudes, carry different, you know, people have different attitudes, different opinions, different, you know, personas. And Green Bay is kind of like, they have the middle linebacker Ray Nitschke attitude. Just, you know, don't hold it against me. I do live currently 6 blocks from the stadium. So you Dallas fans, you have to forgive me. Don't tune me out now. But, hey, we gave you a coach, okay, and he got you to the playoffs. So, you know. But I wanted to help the Lord out. But I gave back to Green Bay, and I did not care for the people of Wisconsin. I like the people in my church, most of them. What's wrong with you? I say hi to half of them, don't say hi back. On the street, even at work, I pass the guy at work. Hey, John. Two letters, hi. It's a really easy word to spit out. It's not that hard. But, man, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. The man, what's wrong with me? The people in Brazil are friendly. I fit, my personality fits in Brazil. What's God doing? Boy, I had people telling me, hey, I had relatives tell me, you need to leave your church so you can get to Brazil. Problem is, the Lord wasn't telling me to leave my church so I could get to Brazil. Well, you know, and you probably all heard this, but people are dying and going to hell. People were dying and going to hell before you and I were born. You know, and God wants to prepare the man. God wants to prepare the woman before the work is done. You know, you might need to get married too, but you don't need to get married at 12 years old. You know, God might want you to be an engineer, but I don't want you to be an engineer at 9 and building the bridge that I'm going to drive over. Sorry, kid. You know, wait till you're 19, 29 before you build the bridge that I'm going to drive over. So stand still. Stand still so you don't panic and make a bad decision. Sarah panicked a little bit and gave Hagar to Abraham. What are you doing, Sarah? Boy, you regretted that mistake when he was born and when he got older. And yeah, you regretted that mistake. The Jews are still regretting that mistake. Don't panic. You know, there's a famine in the land. Instead of asking the Lord, waiting for the orders, what does Abraham do? He runs down to Egypt. That's where he picked up Hagar in the first place. Don't stand still so you don't panic and make a bad decision. Oh, we got the Red Sea, the Egyptians. Oh, I can't swim, but they're behind me. And go in the water and try to swim and drown. Well, that was stupid. Or panic and run into the Egyptian spears. That was dumb. So don't panic. Stand still so you don't panic and make a bad decision. I purchased about 6 years before we moved. I actually purchased my first car. I had been married for, 10 years or so. And I had been given cars. I hadn't had to purchase a car. I was in my 30s before I had to purchase my first car, and bought a Ford Explorer. But I waited, and I car lot after car lot, looked at car after car, got counsel from my pastor, got counsel from the deacons in the church, other men in the church about, you know, because what I didn't just want to make a dumb decision. I didn't want to panic. Oh, I need a car. I need it today. I need it yesterday. Gals, especially gals, if you're going to buy a car, get advice from a man. Why? You're liable to buy a car because it's cute. Don't buy a cute car. Cute car will leave you stranded on the highway. You don't want that. Your family doesn't want that. They don't want you stranded on the highway. So don't buy a cute car. I have a sister that bought a cute car, and it didn't do her a whole lot of good. But my dad, one time, I was young. I was probably about Seth's age, maybe a little younger. We were at a church picnic, and it was at a camp or something like that. And they had a river or something that ran through. And my dad said, "Hey, I'm going to go over to the bridge, and I'm going to swim toward you, and stay right there, and you'll see me coming, and I'll, you know, okay." Well, it was about 6 hours. My dad still wasn't there. Now, 6 hours, really? Well, it felt like 6 hours. It was probably 6 minutes. But when you're a kid, you know, I mean, my mom used to take us grocery shopping. It would leave me and my brother John, he has cerebral palsy, and my brother Jared and Jason would leave us all in the car. What a child abuser, huh? You used to be able to do that without getting put in prison, you know? And she'd roll down the windows, and we'd have our G.I. Joes, and we were fine. We were good. But, man, Mom would forget about us in the store. Well, she had to get food for that crew that was in the car waiting for her. You know, we ate a lot. You know, we were hungry boys. And so, you know, I got to wondering, man, maybe Mom doesn't love us, and she's just going to abandon us in the car. And then better sense came, and, well, no, she wouldn't do that. And then other sense, maybe she got kidnapped, you know, and then we start to panic. Well, go ahead and panic and leave. You know, all the boys leave the car and try to find Mom, and Mom comes out and there's no boys in the car. That wouldn't have been good. So we were good boys. We stayed in the car, and Mom eventually came out like she always did. But Dad didn't show. So, you know, he should have swam to me faster. You know, just like God should answer our prayers faster. God should do something faster. Like, come on, God. Who do you think you are, God or something? Yeah, I'm trying to be in your life. Would you let me? And so I went and found Mom. And a few minutes later, the doors come flying open, and Dad is panicked. He's like, "Where is Joel?" And I'm there by Mom. "Hi, Dad." It wasn't good for me after that. The next thing I know, I'm with Dad, and he's grabbing a branch from the tree. Not sure what he was going to use it for. Yeah, you guys know what he was going to use it for. I remember going into a room, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't remember anything after that. It must have been a good whooping." I never did that again. Never did that again. But what happened? I panicked. And anyway, you panic and make a dumb decision, you make it worse. You make it worse. And you don't learn the lesson that God has for you, then he has to do it again. And sometimes the second lesson is harder. It's a bigger lesson, and now you're really going to grind it out. So learn and stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That way you can say, you know, look what God did. God got me to Brazil, and I didn't ask for one penny. Not one penny. Who does that? You know, I don't know, but God did it for me. Now, you don't need to have the same testimony as I have, but everybody here should have a testimony. God did this for me. First of all, did God save you? Well, then you have a testimony right there. But you should have more than just God saved me. You should have, look what God got me through. Look what God did for me. You know, you hear these stories about George Mueller and Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and maybe even your pastor and other missionaries that come here. And, man, I wish God would do that for me. He could. But many times we panic and get ahead of him and don't let him work so he doesn't. You know, I want God to work in my life. But that means I got to take my hands off the situation. And that is not easy to do. That's not easy to do. These people were panicking, and they were fearing. When you fear, And you get scared, you start to do things that aren't very smart. Just last week, my wife was sweeping, and boy, she got a little scared and panicked and kind of jumped back, and she thought she saw a cockroach. I could only think of the word in Portuguese, barata. That's the word for cockroach. And it wasn't. It was just something dark. But I don't even know what it was. But I said, hey, honey, deep breath. We're in America. I mean, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in February, you're not going to have a whole lot of cockroaches running around. So, but I mean, they're common in their house. So I mean, she was right to think she's still in cockroach mode because she's been in that mode for 6.5 years. We've had cockroaches. We had scorpions one time. I was sitting in my bed and studying or something, and all of a sudden from the other side of the house, I hear a blood curdling scream. Seth is screaming, okay, Lord, oh, like I'm ready. There's blood and there's lots of it. I'm probably gonna have to call the ambulance. All right, I've never done that before, but okay, I got the mindset. Here we go. We go into the room and he's like, I saw a scorpion. And I'm like, well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. He probably saw a bug, but you know, he doesn't know what a scorpion. The next day, mom prayed that we'd find it. Next day, she's taking clothes out of the wash. Big yellow, I guess the yellow ones are the bad ones. Yellow scorpion, about that big. Oh, I guess he saw a scorpion. But, you stand still and you wait for the orders. You wait for God to tell you what to do. And you will see the salvation of the Lord in your life. You will see the salvation of the Lord in your life. Stand still and to wait and stand still. This is the most important part. And I just mentioned it. Stand still and wait. Wait to listen for the orders. The reason why you need to stand still is because if you're panicking and running around and figuring out what you're going to do, you're going to miss what the orders are. You're going to miss that still small voice that wants to tell you what to do. You're not necessarily going to scream it loud in a big, loud, audible voice. It's going to be a still small voice. He's going to tell you, Hey, you need to go forward. And you know, sometimes it's not going to make sense. You know, pray without ceasing. Well, can a guy sleep? I mean, how can you chew your food when you're eating? You're not paying attention. You know, you have to have a submissive spirit when you get the orders, number one. A scorner isn't going to accept the orders. he's going to mock the orders. But, wait, go forward. Hello, there's this big body of water called the Red Sea in front. Yeah, but what you don't know, buddy, is that I'm about to part it and you're going to walk on dry land. Just, you know, can you go one step forward? Well, yeah, the Red Sea's not a few meters out, but it's close. Yeah, but it's not the next step. Take a step. Go forward. Okay. Well, do it again. Well, I can do it again. And then they took a few steps, all of a sudden, whoosh. Well, what are you... Well, I didn't know God was going to do that. Well, it doesn't matter. You should have obeyed. Okay. You do that. You stand still, listen for the orders, and then obey the orders. And sometimes the orders are ridiculous. Lord, are you sure about this? Now, Abraham, sacrifice my what? Your only son. How about Ishmael? He don't count. Your only son. You know who I'm talking about. Why didn't Ishmael go? Oh, was God racist? Was he prejudiced? No, that son was born in the flesh. The other one was born in the spirit. God doesn't count anything you do in your flesh any good. So you're going to plant panic and you're not going to trust him. Those are going to be works of the flesh. That doesn't count. That's not going to matter. So stand still to wait and listen for the orders. Go to Psalm 46. Very similar verse to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Psalm 46, some of you are already acknowledging you know what it is. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Was the Lord exalted among the heathen that day? Among the heathen and among God's people. I will be exalted in the earth. Who was in the earth? The Israelites. Man, everybody knew what was going on. Everybody knew, oh, Israel has a God. And man, your neighbors will know you have a God. Your church friends will know that you have a God. Well, God did that for you, man. And you know what? When you stand still, to see the salvation of the Lord and wait for the orders and watch God come through, that gives hope for all your church friends here. Man, if God, he's not any better than me. In fact, you know, I'm better than he is, and if God can do that for him, he can do that for me. Or, you know, okay, I'm not better than him, but I'm no worse than him. God can do that for me too. All right? But what do you have to do? You have to stand still. Your flesh doesn't want to stand still. In order to get saved, you had to stand still and trust God of the work that was already done on Calvary. And trust what Christ already did for you. And believe that and do nothing but believe. Because no work, no work in the flesh, because your spirit's dead, no work in the flesh will please God. We don't have decisions to make. Oh, I'm in this bad situation. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? No, we don't have decisions to make as much as we have orders to obey. Think about that for a minute. My flesh doesn't like that. Let's see. I want to do this. Can I find a verse that supports that? Well, find out the orders for you. Now, the order should contradict the Word of God. If it contradicts the Word of God, then those aren't the right order. You're hearing a different voice. But we don't have decisions to make as much as we have orders to obey. And then Balaam. Balaam thought he had a decision to make. Wait a minute. Balak is sending more noble princes offering me more money? Let me see what the Lord says more. Wait a minute. The answer from the Lord, when he said, should I go with them? The answer was no. Let me see what the Lord says more. What do you mean? Are you looking for, instead of no, are you looking for no? No, he wanted God to change his mind. You know what? He won. He got God to change his mind. It also cost him his life. So he really didn't win. He didn't win. He lost. And God made a fool out of him by having his donkey talk to him. And he's arguing with this donkey. When you start arguing with donkeys, you know, should you start questioning? But you know what? Maybe I'm not doing the right thing here. You know, when you start talking to snakes, maybe you should go to your husband and leave the snake alone. Let the talking snake talk to himself. When you start talking to animals, that's not a good thing to talk to animals in the Bible. Good things don't happen when you talk to animals. Ahimeaz, I preached this to the kids today. Ahimeaz and Cushai, two runners, two messengers. He thought he had a decision to make, to run or not to run. He wanted to run, and he didn't listen to Joab, and he ran, and he made a fool out of himself. He didn't have a message. So when you know what the orders are, obey them. Okay, go forward. Okay, I don't know how we're going to go forward, but okay. All right, Lord, I'll do what you say, but you do realize there's a Red Sea there. Lord, you do realize I'm almost 40 years old. Learn a language? Okay. Matthews are leaving, and I got to preach 3 to 4. We were trying to start another church, and we on Friday nights, we had a Bible study in a church member's garage about 10 minutes away from church in a different neighborhood. I'm like, So not only do I have to preach 3 times a week at church, but I have to preach then also four times a week. Okay, Lord, go forward. Go forward in the language. Okay. And, I got your grace. I got your strength. I got your help. My son converses better on the street than I do. He can understand it. Hey, Dad, he asked you this. He said this. Thanks. You know, it teaches me humility sometimes. And Dad, no, he didn't say that. He said this. Oh, thank you. But in preaching, boy, he really helps me with preaching. I had a church member say that they understand 90% of what I'm saying. That was a couple of years ago. I'll take that. I'll take 90%. No, we'll try to work on bumping that up. Close to do 100, but I'll take 90%. But are you sitting here tonight and you're in a bad situation? You're in a situation you don't want to be in. Well, man, maybe you're in a marriage you don't want to be in. Maybe you have a child-parent relationship you don't want to be in. Who knows? Maybe you don't like the the job you're at. So stand still, don't do anything rash, don't do anything stupid. Find out what the orders are and obey them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this passage, Lord. It gives us some direction for our life. Lord, the Bible has the answers for every decision in our life, for every situation. Thank you, Lord, for your book and for the answers that it has in it. In your name I pray.
Good message. It's a good thing to be reminded of. Sometimes we need to just sit still and not make a rash decision.